Hello there, we're Vincent Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul, Rand McNally.
We've recently released our family's first almanac in over 50 years, and now we're setting out on a new journey.
Using Rand's old travel journal as our guide, we're visiting his 20 all-time favorite towns.
We'll be counting down the greats as given by our great-great-grandfather, and want you, the listener, to come along for the ride.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hello, listeners. Welcome again to another episode of These Parts. I am Elliot McNally, one of your hosts. Happy to be back after a week hiatus, joining again my brother Vince McNally. How's it going, Vince?
Elliot, it's going great. It's great to have you back. Though I will say, you remember Chet Romney.
Oh, did you get Chet on the show?
Yeah, Chet came in, he filled in, he did a great job. Of course, happy to have you back, my true brother in arms, and my literal brother who has arms also. Both of these things are true.
Those are my two defining qualities, I'd say.
Elliot, what kept you? You never kept me up to date. You just said, there's something I must do, and you got a look of grim determination, and I knew I had to find a fill-in host for 1 week exactly.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to leave you hanging. I feel bad. You know, we are on this journey going through Rand's all-time favorite towns. We're going to do it together, but just this thing came up at the last minute, and it was described to me as a PR nightmare, and I had to take care of it.
You'd do the same for me, Elliot, I suspect. So no worries, but what do you mean by a PR nightmare? We don't really do much PR.
I didn't think we did either, but apparently this needed my immediate attention. Of course, you know, Vince, and our listeners know that along with our almanac, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers Comprehensive Guide to Small Town America, I released a sister, some would call better version.
No one has called it that.
Some would.
But they could.
I may. I had a companion piece called Chew on This, Elliot McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America. This is where I would explore the cuisine and culinary attributes of different towns we visited. I published this in a book along with different vegan recipes that I came up with. If you're traveling, you know, it's pretty hard to eat in places. What I didn't realize was that because of my extremely prohibitive diet, I have, and my body has built up an inhuman tolerance to the crazy vegan food, some might say, that I eat. And wouldn't you know it, it kind of took off. Martha Stewart, Rachel Ray, some other reputable chefs, Wolfgang Puck, they wanted to create these recipes from my book as well, and all of them ended up in the hospital.
So very high profile, if you were following the news, listeners, not only the people themselves, the celebrity chefs, but also those who work with them, who did a test run of these recipes. I think the one that sidelined the Barefoot Contessa was simply a recipe that you call 275 acorns, and it's 275 unshelled acorns eaten raw.
They had to remove all these acorns from the Barefoot Contessa's gallbladder. Don't know how they got in there. First of all, I don't know how the GI tract really works, but they had solidified to the point where they described to me the pressure of coal creating a diamond in there, and I mean, she almost died. And so I had to kind of do all these different press junkets explaining that these recipes are not for the faint of heart. They're for true vegans like me.
Nor for the faint of gallbladder, as it turns out.
Exactly.
Well, it's great to have you back. Glad that the Barefoot Contessa is still with us, and glad that you're back with us, Elliot, because we're in a heck of a town.
We are. And speaking of hearts and speaking of fainting, I think that we should put this town on the map.
So listeners, go ahead and post up. There's no unfolding or unfurling anymore. The medallions are much too thick for any of that. So post your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall map with medallion holsters on the wall and get ready to slot something into the Pacific Northwest.
By the way, did you guys last week come up with any ideas of what we should call this map? I know we've been kind of workshopping it every episode.
No, I think Chet suggested Mr. Medallion's fun wall piece.
That's going in the dump pile.
He was a great host, not a great idea, man.
Well, I'm glad we're back, and I'm glad we're back in this town. It's Mount Melanie, Washington. Wow. Some might call it a little boastful that Rand put a town that he established on his own list of all-time favorite towns. But I can see why. It had a special place in his heart.
Literally, in his heart. Rand, before he met our great grandmother, what was her name?
Ingrid McNally.
Ingrid McNally, formerly Ingrid Romney, no relation. Before he met her, he had a different love, a forbidden love.
That's true. I think fans of cartography in the mapmaking world will know of 16th century cartographer Gerardus Mercator of the Mercator Projections. He created an empire, and his descendants kept that on, one of whom had kind of a thing for our great-great-grandfather, the new man on campus, the new hot stuff making his own maps, Rand McNally.
That's right. Of course, hot stuff making his own maps being the epitaph on our great-great-grandfather's tomb door. Before it was that, it was the breath on the lips of a young Juliet de Mercator. Mm-hmm. Now, this town has since become a bastion for star-crossed lovers and their attempts to thwart the forces that keep them apart, be they cosmic or be they societal. And one of the persons most important in mending these hearts and shepherding them to love is a very special person indeed. It's someone who is important not only to how this town functions, but to how the people in it function. Could you introduce yourself?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm the love guru, Leo Epstein. I've been in this town for 20 years now. I've seen a lot of love come and go. I've seen a lot of people leave. But the one thing that stays is the feeling that you know you're going to be with somebody someday.
Inspiring and hopeful.
Leo Epstein, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be here. Listeners may also know that you have your own radio show. You've written several books. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So the first book I created was When They're Running Away, Walk After Them. And it's about lost love and how you refind it again later in life. It's really based off a personal story with my first love, Marbles. That was her nickname. Her real name was Mary Shankar. And she said, "Don't follow me anymore." And what it really said in her heart was, "You need to try harder if you want to succeed." And that was a bestseller throughout the town.
And she was the daughter of Ravi Shankar, the famed sitar player, did not want your love to go any further.
Yeah, he was kind of an obstacle to our love. Some call it unrequited. I call it incredible. And it's all detailed in the book, starting at chapter 3. Chapters 1 and 2 just talks about my favorite Ravi Shankar songs.
There's a foreword by George Harrison, I think, in that book, right?
Yeah, it was a special request from me, and George and I go way back. I actually introduced him to his first mistress, Sugar, and ever since then, he's owed me a debt.
Wow. Who was I to doubt that love has deep roots here in Mount Melanie? I am just tickled and a little bit humbled by the fact that our great-great-grandfather could have lent his creative bent to founding a town that has grown to be so important. Without further ado, Leo, could you please go ahead and slot the medallion into the map here? It's going to be a little unwieldy.
Okay. Oh, boy. All right, here it goes. Okay,
you got it.
Slotted it in there.
Perfect.
You got it. That was great. Leo, you're a best-selling author. You're a beloved peddler of love. And you're also a fellow radio guy. We love getting fellow radio guys here in the RV. What's your radio show called, and what's it all about?
It's called Leo's Love Sty. It's about when you have concerns in your life and you feel like you're at your lowest lows, you call in, and I'll show you that I've been there and deeper. And it really brings people up. It enlightens them, which I think is what they need at that time in their life.
You know what? I love this. You know, listeners, you're probably thinking Washington. You're probably thinking the Pacific Northwest. You're probably thinking, hey, love radio show. I'm all about Frasier. I'm thinking Frasier. But you got it wrong. Frasier's all about being optimistic in his own narcissistic way. We've got the exact opposite here in Leo Epstein. He brings people up by bringing himself down.
Exactly. If you ever heard of the ladder, I'm the bottom rung. And I think that really resonates well with people. And I get a great viewership. My mom calls in every Tuesday, and I have a couple friends from my beach ball club that do like to call in occasionally as well.
It's a viewership, even though it's a radio show. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I do. I, sorry. I didn't mention I also do have a live video feed. It's lesser known, but I do like to do the video feed of it as well. It's very thrilling.
Longtime listeners will know that we record our show on a camera, even though it's an audio program. You know what? I feel like we're kind of kindred spirits, Leo.
Oh, we are. We are. And I've been watching your videos for a while now, and I'll tell you what, I'm impressed. I haven't seen anything quite like your show, and I mean literally seen anything like your show.
Yeah, when you're watching our videos now, they're not connected to the audio, so you're just probably watching us mouth these words, and I can't even imagine what you've been imagining we've been talking about. And so I'm so excited to continue this conversation and talk about probably the two most famous lovebirds in the town, Rand McNally and Melanie Mercator, in a segment we call Local Legends.
So listeners, this is a real treat. Usually Local Legends is reserved to a sometimes mythical, sometimes folk hero-esque, sometimes still living member of the town that's really important. They're a local legend. This time, our own great-great-grandfather gets to be that local legend. He, sharing the spotlight with his co-legend, Melanie Mercator. Elliot, you spoke to it earlier. The Mercator Projector Empire is a dynasty. And it is a grim nemesis on the horizon of the Rand McNally manse. Now, not all of the Mercators were evil, though, just most of them. One such Mercator, a young, spry, club-footed, but otherwise beautiful woman by name Melanie. Leo, not only are you a love guru, but you're also an avid historian here in Mount Melanie. Can you speak to what it must have been like for these two original lovebirds?
Absolutely, absolutely. Back in the day when they first had their love makings through their eyes, they were not supposed to look at each other. It was different times then. Usually what you did is you start out with a note, you know, maybe send a pigeon later. But eventually you're supposed to look each other in the eyes only upon the altar. They broke some rules. They were real transcendent people of the language of love. And it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, but they persevered. And in the end, you know, obviously you can see the outcome of that.
Yeah, so what they used to do is they had to keep their love secret, obviously, the Mercators and Rand McNally did not see eye to eye. Rand was very keen on new ways of making maps and cartography. So what he would do to obfuscate any instance that they were starting up their own love affair, he would draw a little map for her, usually in the shape of like a penis or something, and then slide it over to her on their way to church or the fair, or, you know, whatever they were doing. It was very romantic.
Now, it's of note that at the time, this town would not have existed. So we're talking frontier.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're talking wagon trains. We're talking two different map companies, Rand McNally working for himself and the Mercator conglomerate, all trying to map the western edge of the United States at the same time. And at the edges of these campfires, love blooms. Much later, Rand will memorialize his forbidden love to Melanie through founding this town. But until then, tell me a little more, Leo. Tell me how their love is kept alive, even today.
Well, today it's really memorialized in what Rand gave her as his first gift. And that was actually a log that he chopped into what was a map. So it was basically a log map. And he gave it to her. It was 56 pounds. She was a strong woman. And that map actually has since petrified, and now it's placed in the local museum, which you can see just for $5 donation or $3 lesser donation.
Where was this map to? Was it to the titular Mount Melanie where they would meet and that Rand would ultimately found the town around?
Yeah, Rand was a clever man. The thing was, he dual-purposed the map. So one, it was a destination, a little map to a destination that they could find together, but it was also a map to his heart. And I believe she found both locations.
It was a map to his literal heart. Like, I saw a picture of it. It looks like an Operation board game almost.
Yes. In fact, it was one of, obviously, Operation was one of Rand's more favorite games. And he thought it would be kind of cute if he made an Operation map. So he did that. And in fact, and she played along willingly. And she went to the location and she found his heart, both figuratively and of course, literally.
Now, that story, of course, dovetails or perhaps tangents into Rand McNally's eventual feud with Milton B. Bradley, but that's neither here nor is it there. Where it is at the center of this town, which, of course, is Mount Melanie. Now, in a minute, and by a minute I mean several minutes, we'll talk about the geography of this town. But until then, I want to know, what do modern-day lovebirds do on, around, or because of Mount Melanie? How does our great-great-grandfather's legend live on?
Modern lovebirds are just taking their cues from older birds. And these were the first birds that had really settled in the area. Upon the stoop of love, you can really just, it's palpable. So what you'll see a lot of this, the children in the town of legal ages, they will move to the areas where they had made love earlier. And it just has a tangible feeling of yeah, there was someone here, and it's possible you're related to the outcome of that session. That's what kids around the town would really do for fun, and that's how it stays alive.
How many places in modern day Mount Melanie do you think Rand and Melanie did it?
Well, the historian does say that was 254 places. There's questions on a few of them due to not finishing, of course. And so there is an asterisk on that number, but that has also been mapped, and it was also in the museum.
Is that why all of the streets in the town are named after different sex positions?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a Kama Sutra Street, there's a Front Style Drive, and then there's, of course, Gangbang Road. That's originally where I moved on to, and it's a wonderful place. It has a shrubbery on both sides.
Where is your recording studio located at? It's in an intersection, right?
It is. That's on the intersection of Reverse Cowboy and All Thumbs Ahead. And so that's really where I like to record.
Beautiful parkway. You can really see the mountain
from
there.
Got a great view.
There's something beautiful. I'll say it. You know, I'm not one for sentimentality, Elliot. I like to look ahead. But I have to say it. There's something really beautiful. And after you hear about a new couple, you know, maybe he's a plumber and she's an electrician, and their love isn't meant to be, but they find a new fixer-upper on Front Style Lane, named after their favorite sex position, Front Style, which I definitely know what that is and what it entails.
Me too, Vince.
And you look at those two young people with a life of love ahead of them, and that makes you believe. It makes you believe in the now, and it makes you believe in the legends.
And I think if you're not even quite sold, even after all that, listeners, we have a segment that I think is going to make you go over the edge.
It's called Random Thoughts.
Now, listeners, of course, Random Thoughts is our updated version of Wouldn't You Like to Know. In this segment, we will read a segment of Rand's old travel journal and then hear from one of you guys. Vince, I am very excited to page open to Rand's, what is this, 16th favorite town on his list of all-time favorite towns.
When you put it like that, it's a little bit, it seems to sell Melanie just a little bit short. I mean, after 252 times.
That's true.
But
yeah, but I mean, at least she made it on the list, right?
That's a fair point. Hey, there's only 20 towns on this list. That's pretty good stuff.
Yes, it's his all-time favorite towns out of all the towns. She's lucky that she made it on there, being a Mercator and all, I mean.
You know, that's a fair point, Elliot. What does Rand have to say? Because his words, I can imagine him, the author of eons that he is, having some very romantic things to say about a town founded upon romance.
And this is really interesting, actually. This seems to be a draft of a love letter that he wrote to Melanie, and there's an enclosed map with it, too.
My heart flutters.
Okay, so he says, my dearest Melanie, it's been a fortnight since we've seen each other, and I can't wait to bone. Take this map, and please meet me at our secret place. You know exactly where it is. And he's drawn this map, but it doesn't have really any markings on it. So I'm assuming Melanie probably knew where to go. And maybe Leo, being from this town, you know where this map is leading her.
Yeah, this particular map went up to the Cave of Wonders, Not like Aladdin. I know a lot of people think, well, it's this Cave of Wonders. It was actually a cave of wonderful things, but they didn't want to, they had limited letters for the signage, so they actually reduced it just to Cave of Wonders. And that's where it leads. There was many a twist there.
And the Cave of Wonders, that's just off of POV Parkway, right?
Yeah, it is. People typically don't go there anymore because there's been actually a rash of different diseases that have come out of that cave recently. But
literal rashes?
Literal rashes, yeah. We don't quite know where it comes from. But back in the day, that was a hotbed.
So what is it current day? I mean, is it still the Cave of Wonders up there? Is something built over it? I mean, it's interesting to think that 200 years ago, Rand and Melanie were doing front style, back style, even side style here.
All the different styles that definitely exist.
Insects, yes.
Yeah, there was, they had a lot of different style loves back then. But typically the Cave of Wonders was a place where they would just hold hands and hum. And that was really kind of the beating drum of their hearts is one.
Sorry, are you saying hum or hump?
A hum. They would then... Well,
there's no P.
See, you're a prophet yourself, because then afterwards they would hump quite a bit.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That's every iota as romantic as I had hoped. Rand, you can tell he's so in love. Leo, you're the love guru. You're an expert on love. You might be the most informed person about love on the entire planet. Can't you tell how in love they are?
I can. And if you don't see it through the maps and you can't see it through the letters, really just scattered about the town is just their love. And I think that's what you really gather from it. You know, I've only seen another couple in as much love as them. And that was me and my first wife. And her name is Deandra, and she left me for a banker. But other than that, there really is, it's unparalleled.
So I want to do a little exercise here. You have a love letter that you wrote to Deandra once, and we have this letter that Rand wrote. And I know you're an expert handwriting analysis professor also on the side. What can you tell us about Rand's handwriting and then your and your ex-wife's handwriting and how that differs in terms of how in love they are?
Of course. Rand's handwriting is virulent. You can see it in the big swoops and little curls of especially the lowercase A's and D's, which he had a lot of. As you can see there in that third paragraph, you see how the top of that D, it just kind of swoops up and over and then turns into a penis. Rand was a really phenomenal writer. It is. Yeah, he was an incredible writer and in his handwriting. He actually got into calligraphy later in life, which has a whole other set of letters that are really quite intriguing. My handwriting, conversely, is a little bit more jaunt. You see smaller, more block letters. There's the couple spaces where you can visibly see the tears that are on the paper. And then, of course, a lot of ellipses is after "I think you love me still."
And then Deandra's letter is just a letter from her attorney.
It's a letter from her attorney. Exactly right. She served me with divorce papers, and they were very well written. As you can see from the lawyer's handwriting there, it was categorically serious, but also had that kind of playful nature, like, we're going to take you for all you got.
Oh, I see there are the little penis D's on this too, actually.
Yep.
He must have had that custom typeset. Is that an electronic typewriter?
I think it's a special ligature.
Oh, that is the attention to detail. I have to get this guy's number.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, that Rand actually was the first inventor of wingdings, but they were all sex-related back then.
Yeah, those were dingdings, and that was actually the precursor to it. And people don't know that was an idea stolen from him. He was ahead of his time.
Wow, you are teaching us so much, and maybe you have even more knowledge for us as you unfurled this fan letter that we've received. Leo, can you read for us?
Sure. It says, "Hey boys, glad to see your show still going strong. This is Janine speaking."
She's speaking.
Well, she must be dictating a letter. Oh. Look at yeah, of course. Look at the stationery.
You can see the stationery. It's beautiful. It's scented like rose and lavender. So Jean has written here. She says, you know, boys, I have a letter for you. Love your show. Always watch. Don't listen at all. But I do like the video, so she's quite like me. And then she does have a question for you, which I guess is in the letter. Anyway, it was, what made Love Potion number 8 such a failure? Because obviously Love Potion number 9 worked out.
Right. Love Potion number 9 immortalized in song. Love Potion number 8, hey, not so much.
Love Potion number 8 was Ran just spit in a little vial, and he put some of his blood in there, too. I know that people modern day probably are thinking of, you know, the Billy Bob Thornton, Angelina Jolie thing. Rand was the first person to try to do this, and even Melanie really wasn't turned on by that at all.
No. Now, Leo, you being in the historian you are, you'll be aware of the previous 7 love potions also. I'm reading here. You've provided us a very helpful dossier, and I'm reading here that love potion number 7 was actually a prescription ointment for her club foot. That didn't work. What do we have for love potion number 6?
Well, love potion number 6, I mean, if you don't mind me jumping in here, that was a perfume. It was made of the scent of deers marking the territory. And that didn't go over very well, but it did keep the deer population down for quite a long time. The ladies really appreciated that. But eventually the hunters decided that it had to be banned due to lack of venison.
And if listeners come to town, you also own the apothecary shop where you sell all these love potions. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'm a jack of all trades, and my apothecary shop is one of my more successful endeavors.
What street is that on again?
That's on Back It Up Street.
Back It Up Street.
Back I like it. Back It Up Street.
Because it also serves as instructions for your freight suppliers.
It does. It does, yeah. When I hear them, I just say, hey, listen to the street name, and then they get it. They're smart, but it's appreciated. And obviously they go around back, and they drop off the deliveries once weekly. Mortar and Pestle, they're on discount this week in case you want them. But yeah, it's always open.
Great question, Janine. We'll leave the remaining 5 potions up to the imagination.
Hint, though, they all involved Rand's hair. Different hair from his body.
Different types of body hair. You might think to yourselves, mm-hmm. hey, there's only probably 3 or 4 types of body hair. You'd be wrong.
No.
Well, Janine, thanks for writing. Thanks to everyone who writes in every week. And hey, thank you to Leo for reading that. We have some more investigation to do, guys. And it's in a segment that, you know what? I'll say it. It's niche. It applies to people whose interests are like my and my brother's. We love geology, and we love geography, and we love maps. It's a segment we call At Long Lat.
At Long Lat is exactly as my brother describes it. It is a segment that we break out when we have different points of geographical relevance in the town we're visiting. This town is very interesting because there are so many unrequited loves that come here. They each need their own certain meeting area. And so with Leo, we're going to explore some of these. Leo, I know we're not supposed to divulge too much, but can you maybe give us an example of one of these couples, modern day or in the past, and what their point of relevance was?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, couples in the past, the most point of relevance was the clothing. It all derived from that. It was a fashionable time. Burlap sacks were all the rage. And so they would wear those around town and just to kind of, you know, meet and mingle amongst the people. And then back in the day, you had sack races, but it's been totally obliterated and bastardized since the original inception. Now people put them on their feet before you put it on your upper torso. And the sack races is basically if you find someone that you think you're going to wink at, you just race down the street, first one to the sign. Makes out.
It's a perplexing system to comprehend. So, listeners, I don't fault you. We have the benefit of visual aids, which have been provided in our dossier. What happens essentially is you agree upon an endpoint. Two people who feel it in their hearts, wearing burlap sacks, race to it, and then once you get there, you take off the sacks and you make out. That's what a sack race is.
This was of particular notoriety with the Lay's family and the Jay's family. Of course, both of potato chip fame. They had a son the Jays and the Lays had a daughter who fell in love, and obviously their love was forbidden. So, Leo, where did they meet in town? How did they get their sacks off?
You know, usually when you need to get your sack off, you go to a hidden place. It's called Windy Meadows, and it's really, it's through the trees, and then it really opens up into a beautiful meadow. And there's a lot of wind going through, so no one can really smell your scent or anything. And then that's just where you get down, right there in the meadow.
Formerly a potato field, now overgrown with wildflowers. Much like love, it is the hardy roots that grow into something beautiful. That's where Lay and Jay got laid and got Jays. And ever since then, people have been going to that location to, as you put it, take off their sacks and have sex.
I'm glad you got there, Vince.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You're a smart guy. You know, it's like a, think of it like a pilgrimage. And then at the end of the pilgrimage, you know, someone's going to get some.
It truly is a modern day Pyramus and Thisbe. You know, they had their wall that they would talk through every single night, and Lay and Jay would have their burlap sack that they would be fondling and canoodling in.
It's a tale as old as time.
Vince, do you have a couple that you've heard about that is a particular interest and maybe has a certain love point for their own in Mount Melanie?
Absolutely. Who could talk about the history of forbidden love stories without talking about Natalie Tesla and Edison Jr. Jr.?
Natalie Tesla and Edison Jr. Jr.
I of course mean Thomas Edison's son.
Of course. Obviously, Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison did not get along, and you're saying that feud perpetuates to this day.
Absolutely. To this day, their families don't see eye to eye. Two of their power descendants, that being Natalie Tesla, current owner of Tesla Motors, and Edison Jr. Jr., who actually owns a secondhand tire retailer.
I didn't realize Elon Musk sold Tesla to
co-owners. He owns 49%. Natalie Tesla owns 51%. You know,
that's great.
Don't bother checking the news. That's true. And what's also true is that these two lovebirds, even though one is a high-powered CEO, the other the humble owner of a secondhand car tire retailer, their love is kept alive in Mount Melanie, of all places.
And so, where do they go to meet these two lovebirds?
Well, I don't know. I would love for Leo Epstein, the love guru, to illuminate where these two high power motorists and lovers meet up.
Oh yeah, let me tell you, I this couple, it's magical. And you see them, and it's like sparklers going off in the middle of the 5th of July. And by that I mean the leftover. It's just leftover love. It's just slowly disintegrating in a beautiful way. What it is when they get together, and she'll fly in on her private jet, and then he'll go find her in his go-kart, and he'll pick her up, and they drive off into a little ridge. It's not too big or too well known. It's called Hitch Ridge. And what they do is basically they just stare at each other for hours, and then once one of them blinks, of course that ends it. And it's very spiritual, which I think is fantastic, but it's also very kind of anticlimactic, I would say.
Literally lacking a climax.
With the best kind of sex, obviously. I can't believe that feuds like this are still perpetuating to this day. I thought that the band AC/DC really smoothed things over between the Tesla and Edison family, but I guess I was wrong. And there's another feud that still persists that I was very shocked to know about too, guys.
Well, Elliot, I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, so of course, the Fresh Prince, Will Smith, and DJ Jazzy Jeff were collaborative partners for a long time, but then that kind of got, you know, a flip turned upside down, as they say, and their kids are forbidden to meet. So the Jeff family and the Smith family, if Willow or Jaden ever wanted to date whatever kids DJ Jazzy Jeff has, I don't know their names, and probably no one does or ever will, they are forbidden to be romantic. But if they do want to, there was a clause written in the sort of formal breakup between the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, and there's a place in town, Leo, I think you know, that it's a throne that has been flipped, turned upside down, and all you have to do is win a game of basketball to get there.
Yeah, exactly right. Once you've shot horse and you've won, what you can do, you can go to Mount Melanie's Happy House. And that's a place, there's no judgment. You walk in the door and you will see the combinations of all of the different people who just would not get along. But this is a safe place. You know, I've been there before. Obviously, that's where I met my first wife, and she hit me.
Leo, she struck you?
She struck me. I realize it seems odd at first, but when you walk into the Happy House, the way you hit on people is to hit them. It's a very literal place. And so, it's nothing in the face, you know, that's the moneymaker and everything, but if you can do shoulders and then, you know, above the shoulders, it's fine. And so what you do is the people will go there and Mr. Jeff and Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, sorry, they will go there and they will find each other. And once you've been smacked, it's really, you can't turn back.
So you must be smacked in the neck because it's above the shoulder, but below the face.
Yeah.
You smack that your betrothed or your crush, you strike them in the neck. Lightly.
Strike in the neck. It's a light strike. It's like being bit by a toothless viper. It's really no big deal.
You're doing that thing that you would do like in middle school on the schoolyard where you're like slapping your hand really fast to make it make a sound, but it's not actually that hard.
Exactly. We're not here to hurt anybody. We're just here to find love, and that's really what that's about.
And if people wanted to go to this place, what street is it on?
Oh yeah, that's on Smell Me Road.
Yeah, that road runs all the way around town. You can't miss it, listeners.
Can't miss it.
And something else that you listeners are not going to want to miss is our next segment. Isn't that right, Vince?
Absolutely. It's a little thing we call Did You Know?
Well, on second thought, you actually might miss it because it's going to be going so fast. Did You Know is our rapid-fire fact segment firing five facts at you from whatever town we're in. Guys, I've got the first one.
Can't wait. Let's hear it, Elliot.
Guys, did you know that in Mount Melanie, Washington, the only Facebook status you're allowed to have in a relationship is, it's complicated.
Is that a special setting with the added inflection and like the several M's?
Yeah, you're supposed to record yourself saying, it's complicated. So whenever someone looks at your relationship status, it plays that.
I see. It makes sense. I didn't know that. Leo, do you care to shed some light on that?
Yeah, well, you gotta understand, relationship statuses are complicated. And when it's complicated, you need to treat it with the reverence that it deserves. So obviously you can understand where that comes from.
And people still need to keep these relationships shrouded in secrecy, Vince. There's so many different people, as we've discussed, you know, the Teslas, the Edisons, the DJ Jazzy Jeffs of the world that don't want these relationships going public.
Yes, exactly. I mean, everyone's shrouded. The whole town, they're covered in shrouds.
Everyone wears shrouds.
Mm-hmm. It's also good. It protects yourself from the UV rays, but it also shrouds your love.
Lowest instance of skin cancer in the entire country per capita here in Mount Melanie.
And we're proud about that.
And you should be. And Leo, something else you could be proud of. Do you have our next Did You Know fact for us?
Absolutely. This is something I even learned recently myself, is that grapefruit is outlawed. And that's due to the increasing eye injuries from the backsplash. So it just so happens that people happen to love grapefruit. And I'll tell you, our optometrist, Dr. Luxi, he's been getting too many patients. And so we basically had to outlaw grapefruit. Really terrible, tragic thing.
Dr. Luxi.
Grapefruit's usually regarded as the most sensual of the fruits, so I can see why that would be challenging. There's a lot of couples here that probably always try and do share a grapefruit with each other.
Yeah.
And because if you cut a grapefruit in half, it kind of looks like boobs.
It does, and a lot of people were using it for that, and they get backsplashing themselves. Some people put it in the microwave, heat it up, do what they need to do with it, that got backsplash.
Now, wait a second.
Some people just took a spoon to it and...
Nothing like a hot, citrusy, acidic grapefruit to, quote, do what you need to do with it.
Well, I didn't know that, and I think it comes time in the show to warn anyone who may have teenaged male children listening, maybe along with you in the car while you're dropping them off at school, This would have been a good time to turn off the podcast.
We're looking at you, Jim from American Pie. Am I right?
I'm not sure if you're right or if you're not, actually.
I don't know.
I'm not following. But what I will say is I have a did you know fact for you.
Oh, great.
Did you know that the famous phone application Tinder works a little bit differently here in Mount Melanie?
Weird. So how does it work, Vince?
Well, as you know, the town is all about honoring forbidden love. So as soon as you fire up Tinder here, it auto swipes no on all possible love connections.
So is this in an effort to make your love as difficult and complicated as possible?
It's more in an effort, from what I'm told, but I would love to hear Leo's point of view, to make it forbidden. Right off the bat, when the app tells you no, your heart tells you yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing like unrequited love. I mean, everyone in the town, you know, the suffering from unrequited love. And if we were to come into the town and we have this newfangled app, Tinder, and people are swiping all which directions and getting matches and you know, smiling and running off in the sunset, well, that doesn't really meet with what our town credo is. And so we had a special arrangement with Mr. Tinder to make sure that it could only swipe left. And the townsfolk love it. It's great. It's great. Because you see someone and you kind of say, oh, you know, I think we had something. And they say, well, absolutely not. And then, you know, later you're finding them in the back of a Chevrolet. So in the end, it seems to work.
Leo, isn't it true that Dale Tinder and Meredith Bumble actually met in Mount Melanie?
Yeah, it is. They were other members of the Happy House, and when they became unshrouded, they thought, oh, well, you're my mortal enemy. But I'll tell you what, two slaps later, and there was love in the air.
Of course, H.W. Hinge later hung himself after learning that his betrothed had left him.
Ironically, on a door, actually, and the hinges broke. So it was a very slow one. But yeah, that's true.
Because he was just laying on the floor.
Yeah, so slow. He actually died of infection several years later.
Yeah, the brass from the hinges leached into his skin. So very, very sad. Very sad stuff going on here. I didn't know that, Vince. But did you guys know that it is impossible to get a good night's sleep in Mount Melanie, Washington?
Ooh, this sounds like a fun one, Leo.
It is, Leo. I think you probably have experienced this every single night of your life in Mount Melanie, but every single person who is trying to court another in town is at the bottom on the street under a balcony shouting up at their betrothed all night long. So they're shouting up, maybe they're hoisting a boombox above their head, maybe they're singing some sort of serenade. It's just impossible to get a good night's sleep because everyone is doing that.
Right as the sun goes down, it's beautiful. I mean, it's like a cacophony of Stella and Juliet, and really it puts me to sleep personally. I just love it. Some people take a little bit more time getting used to, but you know, after a while they realize, hey, if no one's yelling my direction, I better not be sleeping anyway.
It's true that you have to have a balcony if you buy an apartment here, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, balconies are all the rage. The thing is that once the law was put into place, you must have a balcony. We've had these makeshift balconies that you can buy any place you want and just strap it on. Just boom, boom, boom. 4 bolts. And you got it yourself a balcony.
Strap it on.
Strap it right on. Yeah, it's called strap-ons. Wow. It's a balcony supplier we have, actually. Well, it's just outside of town, but, you know.
What street is that on?
Oh, that street? Oh, that one's outside of town, so that one's actually on Dick Pick Street. But it's a different street. It's named separately.
It was named after Richard Pick.
Yeah, Richard Pick. He was actually the original strap-on.
Illuminating. I didn't know that. And you know, Leo, it would do me a great service to have you do our final Did You Know fact.
Well, you know, contrary to popular belief, people think all the lights around town are powered by electricity. This is not, in fact, true. It's powered by gas, and as you stated earlier, this is because of the Tesla Edison love. What happened was they couldn't choose. You know, what did we choose, AC or DC or BC? And what basically they ended up saying is, well, chuck it all out the window. We're going to use gas. Turns out there happened to be a large supply of petroleum right out of the town. Seemed to be leaching into the water supply for years, but it works great for the lamps. And so gas lamps are the lamps in every house on every street.
But if I just can dig into this a little bit more, you're saying that gasoline is constantly leaching into the water supply of the city?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen a few anomalies with some of the citizens, but I don't think it's anything for cause for concern. No one has audibly voiced any concern with it, and we don't really respond much to body language. So yeah, if there's no complaint, always hunky-dory.
Well, that's good enough for me. I think we can wrap this up, Vince.
Works for me, too. Let's wrap it up with a segment we call Wish You Were Here.
So listeners, Wish You Were Here is our segment to say hi to Ran from a town that we're visiting that is one of his all-time favorite towns, especially is true in this town. I'm sure he would have liked to know what we were up to and what became of it. So it goes something like this. Dear Rand, wish you were here in Mount Melanie, Washington.
A town where star-crossed lovers can meet beneath the sky.
A town where love blows through the meadows like the wind of a goddess.
A town where, Rand, you may have been unrequited, but we are very undivided in our opinion of what it became.
A town where a young Map Harris with a club foot and a upstart hotshot Map mogul-to-be found eternal love, temporarily.
A town where discretion led to the X on the map.
And a town where you're going to want to mark that X and visit very soon.
Farewell from these parts to yours.